Lord while he may be found. Call upon him
while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 9. We began yesterday with this theme of God's way with today's problems. The elders have asked me to speak on a number of topics. And yesterday, I began talking about digital technology and addiction to it. Last night, we talked about social media. And tonight, we're going to talk about equally a difficult topic. It's more difficult than the others in that I'm going to have to talk very frank, very specific. The subject demands it. If we were going to rate it, it probably is PG-13, maybe worse. Simply because we're going to be talking about things that are embarrassing. They're shameful. And when you preach the whole counsel of God, you talk about things from God's Word when it's talking about sin. And sin is ugly. Sin is a heinous thing. So to even talk about some things that God talks about is difficult to talk about. I thank you for being here tonight. We have a good number. We appreciate so very, very much your presence. Several are visiting from other congregations. We appreciate so very, very much your being here. Brother Patty and Sister Sandy are here tonight and their son. We appreciate so much them being here. And please continue to remember Sister Sandy as she continues to take her treatments. I think she says she's about halfway through her radiation treatments. So continue to remember her. There are other ones that others that I would like to mention, but as soon as I start pointing out everybody, if my wife was sitting in the audience, I'd probably forget her name. So I'd probably forget your name as well. But I appreciate you being here. We thank you for being here. And we hope that you brought your Bibles and that you'll study with us from the Word of God. If you're here tonight and not a member of the body of Christ, we are really glad you're here. We appreciate your coming. Someone has invited you to come, I'm sure. And we hope that you will listen closely to what we talk about. And certainly, if I say anything that is not true to the book, and the book we're talking about is the Bible, if it's not true to the book, then you'd be my friend if you'd come and talk to me about that. I appreciate you being here. Let's talk a little bit about our lesson for tonight. And best way to get in cold water is just jump in, right? Yeah, we'll just jump in. As I said in earlier lessons, we've talked about digital technology. And digital technology can be a really good thing. But it's a great tool. But it can be used for bad things too. And we discussed the idea that we have a biblical freedom to use digital technology, computers and phones and stuff. But we do have to be careful. As we think about the idea, we must avoid using these tools in any way that we ourselves sin, but that we not use these tools that we have a freedom to use that would cause someone else to sin. So we have to be very aware of that, very conscientious about that. And just with the click of a mouse, we can be at a website and looking at things we ought not to be looking at. It's very easy. And it doesn't matter what age you are. That can happen. Parents, I'd ask you this question. Would you allow your children to roam free in an area of town, we'd say the bad part of town, wherein there's X-rated movies, there are strip joints? Would you allow your children just to wander around and to look in those places and even to walk into those places? I hope that everyone here would say, no way, we would not allow that to happen at all. Well, the thing I would like us to think about, then why allow them to do that on the internet? Because the internet is so real in so many respects that it's like being there. So tonight, I would like for us to talk about pornography. And usually, on my list of lessons to preach in a gospel meeting, this is not one of them. But I have done it several times because brethren have asked me to do that, or it was needed to be done. And sad to say, it needs to be taught on. We need to talk about it. Yes, this embarrassing thing, pornography. And when we think about the idea of pornography, we live in a wonderful country that affords freedoms. So much freedom that pornography is almost everywhere you go. And I would want us to understand that from sources that I was able to look at and understand, the average age of children that are introduced to pornography is 11 years old. That's unbelievable. And I when I saw that statistic, I kind of went back in my mind. I was thinking, okay, when I was 11 years old, I certainly didn't know what pornography was. But it wasn't too long after that, to some of my friends that I hung out with, and all of those were heathens, one of them stole their father's Playboy book and brought it, and we all looked at it, and we were shocked. We didn't know things like that existed. So I got introduced to the topic, and I didn't have the internet. So I'm not suggesting that the only way you can be introduced or know about this topic is on the internet. That is not true. But in our day and time, that is the more likely place now that your kids will see something that they shouldn't see. The largest group that uses porno is 12 to 17 years old. Porn rewires the brain like drugs do. I'm not qualified to talk a lot about that. But I'm not qualified to talk any about that. But I do know this. In the last 15 years, I've had to talk to Christians that were hooked on porno. And they're messed up. They're really messed up. We'll have more to say about that in a moment. Nearly 80% of unwanted exposure to porn is taking place in the home. Kids are getting exposed to pornography at such a young age, and where do they see it? In your home. We'll have something to say about computers in a moment about that. Men and women get addicted to porn. I think for myself, that was very eye-opening many years ago. Did a lot of research and study about this topic. And I've always thought and believed that men are different in many respects, not just physically, but psychologically, in regards to this topic. And I really guess I kind of just gave women a pass that, no, They wouldn't do anything like that. But statistically, women are about as bad. Porn is extremely addictive. Extremely. And like a drug, you may start out just smoking a reefer, marijuana. And then you got to have more. And you got to have more. You got to move up to another, and I don't even know what the levels, scales are. But you keep moving up and moving up and moving up. You have to have more and you have to have more. And the high gets higher and higher, and you know, you got to have it. The same thing was, it was porn. Parents, get involved with your children. Now, I know this is not cool. Our society, there's so many things I want to say in 45 minutes, I don't have time to say it all. But I will say this. Kids are raised completely different today than the way I was raised. That doesn't make it right. That doesn't make it wrong. It's different. And here's how I've noticed it's different. If I was in my room, I didn't have a computer when I was growing up. Okay, we had rock and chisel and hammer, you know, way back then. Anyway, if I was in my room on a computer and my parents came in, especially my father, if he came into my room and I said, and I slammed the top down and I said, "Dad, you need to get out. I need my privacy," and shut the door, there would have been a problem. Today, they call that abuse, what my daddy would have done. But today, children have this concept, even in their parents' home, that what they view and what they look at and what they do, you know, is off limits to their parents completely. And all I have to say about that, that ain't right. Parents, if you don't get a grip on what your kids are looking at on their computers, and maybe you're not smart enough to go to their computer and find out what they've been looking at, maybe they are smart enough that they can delete this and erase that and you know, cleanse this, and I don't even know what I'm talking about. But anyway, they can do that. You're going to have to put safeguards. You're going to have to put filters. You're going to have to do something. Because not only in this topic, but when we branch out from children using computers, they are so vulnerable, not to just bullying, but they are susceptible to, and they are targets of, perverted people who will do their best to find them, to talk to them, to communicate with them. And there are sexual perverts and predators out there, and your children, in their innocence, they may know a lot about a computer. That does not make them an experienced, mature child of God to understand what this person that is pretending to be their friend as they're chatting and what that person is really after. There are too many kids that are being sucked up into a dark, dark world. And here we are, parents, making sure they have all the toys, that they got the latest iPhone, they got the latest computer, and they've got all this stuff, and we ain't got a clue what in the world they're looking at. Brethren, you are asking for disaster. Do not allow your children to ever go down that road. And the only way I know that that can happen, well, two ways. One, you never allow them to have any digital technology. That's one way. A second way, if they can use it for good, you need to police it somehow. They're going to get mad, they're going to get upset, and they're going to pout, and they're going to roll their eyes, and they're going to do all that stuff. You can fix that too. But anyway, that's another topic. But the reality of it is, you need to make sure you understand what your kids are looking at. Heard a fellow say one time, he said, if there's a computer in your house, it needs to be in the most public area of your house, and no one ever gets on it unless there's a crowd of people around. And I thought, that's genius. That's perfect. Accountability. I guarantee ain't no kid going to get on the computer then. I grew up hearing my dad say, boy, as long as you put your foot underneath my table, you're going to... Some of you hear that statement? Who are the parents and who are the children in your home? Enough said. Spouses need to hold each other accountable. It is so easy. We talked about yesterday about digital addiction. And, you know, we take that thing with us everywhere. It's an appendage. we got to have it, right? Go to the bathroom. You go, you know, wherever you go, it's with you, right? All right? I would like to encourage all spouses, husbands to wives and wives to husbands, we hold each other accountable for what we look at. And we make readily available to our spouses at any point in time for a look at the history. And if that history is always cleared, that's a red flag. Now, some of you are not knowing what in the world I'm talking about, and I barely do. But talk to some of your kids and they'll tell you what that means. It's important to understand. I've talked to several couples who one of the spouses was so addicted to pornography that they could not even carry on a sexual relationship as God ordained in the home as they should. They were messed up. So the reality of spousal relationship, it's important that you have this kind of open and accountability. We talked about addiction. It's compulsive need for and use of a habit-forming substance like heroin, nicotine, alcohol, or activity like gambling, pornography. All right? I'm going to throw in a plug here for a fella. His name is Art Adams. Do any of you all know this guy? Ever heard of this guy? A few of you have. Art Adams. Okay? He's related to Connie Adams, who's been a preacher for 100 years. They're close related. But Art Adams also preaches. But he's also licensed counselor. He's also licensed and participates in this. He started this place. It's called Leaving the Pit for people that are addicted to all sorts of things. Whether it's pornography, drugs, etc. I put that on the board so in the most easy setting for anyone here, if you or someone you love or know and appreciate has any kind of addictions, you can go online and there's contact information for Art and you can get a hold of that guy and you can get some help. There is help available. Okay? Do not leave this building if you or somebody you love or know needs help with addiction. Okay? Call this guy. All right? We're going to talk about pornography. And When we look at the basic idea of what pornography is, it's a compound word. Webster says it's from a Greek word, porne, which is a word used in the Greek originally as for a prostitute or prostitution. And graphy is just to write or to picture. So when you put those words together, Webster says, then pornography is just writings or pictures, etc., intended to arouse sexual desire. Now you're already seeing that this is, we're going in delicate situation here. When we think about the idea of pornography, the Greek word that was used in the Koine Greek when the New Testament was written is translated fornication. Fornication is a very broad, generic term. It's like the word wood. Wood is a generic term. Specific kinds of wood, oak, cedar, pine, etc. Fornication is a generic term for all sorts and kinds of illicit sexual deviant behavior. Under that, specifically, would be adultery, homosexuality, etc. You follow me? So, when we're talking about pornography, we're talking about, from its root idea, any kind of deviant behavior, from bestiality to homosexuality, etc. And you view that with the intent of being sexually aroused. Okay? And it is the purpose of all of that that leads to fornication. Fornication is condemned as a sin by God in the Bible. I'm assuming everybody here would know that, but I put it there to make sure, in case somebody was here didn't know that. The Bible condemns that. All right? Galatians 5 and verse 19, fornicators shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, understanding that word fornication, it includes homosexuality, bestiality, etc. All right? But why is pornography sinful, specifically? Now, I want to make this clear. Pornography in and of itself is not fornication. Pornography is the temptation and the constructing of lust to commit fornication. All right? You follow me? Pornography, it makes the heart filthy and dirty. It pollutes the mind. The kids' song. Oh, be careful, little eye, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eye, what you see. Well, why is that important? Does it matter what you see? Does it matter what you look at? Well, yeah, because the eye is a window to allow good and bad to get into your heart. And when we consider the idea of, sometimes we say things like this, did you watch such and such movie? Well, one person will say, as a Christian, will say, no, I didn't watch that because it was dirty. And what we mean by dirty, it was either filth and foul language, or it was nudity, or sexual content, etc. Right? But sometimes, those that go see the movie, they will justify it and say, there was only one nude scene in it, and just a couple of bad words. And I've heard many of my brethren say that. Well, it wasn't that bad a movie, just a couple little things. And it just drives me up the wall when I hear brethren say that. And I've tried to think, put on your thinking cap here, man. What can I say? So I came up with this little story. I love pizza. I'm a pizza connoisseur, okay? I can't make it. I'm a connoisseur in that I eat it. All right? I eat pizza. I like pizza. All right? Now, so I'm going to make pizza. All right? I'm going to put pepperonis on it, going to put some sausage on there. I like some veggies, you know, and some jalapenos. Put some of those jalapenos on there, you know, and give it a little to it, you know. Put that on there. But then the secret ingredient, and I'm going to have everybody over. This is a pretend, okay? Don't everybody come to my house for pizza because I can't make it. But the secret ingredient I'm going to put in my pizza, it's going to be chopped up real fine. It's going to look like black pepper. But it ain't black pepper. I'm going to tell you what it is. And you're going to love it on your pizza. In Florida, they've got these palmetto bugs. They're about that long. And what they are, they're roaches on steroids. They're huge. Right? So I'll get me about a dozen of those and put them in the blender and just, you know, grind them up. And it'll be just like pepper. And I'll put that on the pizza. And man, is it going to be good. You want that? You want that? No, because you don't want to eat a roach, right? You don't want to eat a roach? But you know, it's only just one little roach. It's just a little bit. And people, we can easily see that I would not want to eat a pizza that had a ground up roach in it. I do not want that. Why? It's gross. It's going to make me, I'm getting sick and I didn't even taste it. But yet we will go to a movie, look at stuff. Well, it only had that one nude scene. Well, I only saw these people making sex one time. Well, what did it do to you? Well, I'm a big boy. I can take it. Really? Which one among us is so mature, it is so strong, that we can see and allow that filth into our hearts and we think it's not going to affect us in any way? You think that's a good example with the pizza? Does that work? Okay. Well, if it didn't work, I'm sorry. It's the best I could do. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Keeping your heart pure, keeping the filth and the foul out, is a difficult job. It's hard. Because there's so much all around us. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. My heart that God has given me, and He wants me to keep it pure. If I dirty it and I filth it up and I smuck it up and with the junk that I'm looking at, then I am not what God wants me to be. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, we talked about that last night. About whatsoever things are good and, you know, pure and good report. You know, think on these things. So here's the deal. The movie you watch, the music you listen to. I mean, some of the music is, and I'm not talking about just bebop, hip-hop, whatever you call that stuff. There's a lot of filth and foul in that. And the reason I know that is because some dude pulls up next to me and he's got all these windows down and he's got it on about 136 on the volume and it's just like, boom, boom, you know, and I hear all that. It's like, ugh. But like I said last night, you can listen to George Jones and hear some filth and foul. Okay? So you have to be very selective. So if it doesn't fit into the category of Philippians 4 and verse 8, then don't see it. And I've had any number of people say, well, Brother Saleem, we wouldn't be able to go to a movie any at all because all movies this guy. Man, it would be a terrible thing to live this life and not ever go to a movie. Man, that would be so awful. You'd just be so deprived. Come on, brethren. What are we thinking? We compromise our faith. We compromise our children. Because all their friends are going, we let them go too. And again, if their friends are going to go down to the road where all the strip joints are, you want your kids to go too? Filling their minds with all this filth and it's awful. It's a temptation to commit fornication. In Matthew 5, verse 27 and 28, Jesus said, You've heard it said of old, you should not commit adultery. But I say to you, that any man that looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Now think about that for a moment. What is Jesus saying? Basic rule of thumb. Men like to look at women. They're gorgeous. God made them beautiful. We look at them because they're beautiful. Women like to be looked at. Now, I'm not trying to throw all of our women under the bus and all of us guys under the bus, but here's the basic fundamental deal. And you'll see from the perspective of the Bible these two points. The reality of it is, the reason you ladies comb your hair and brush your teeth and put on, you know, y'all do what you do and all of that stuff, is you want to look nice. We want you to look nice too. But there is a point of which we cross the line, both male and female. Jesus did not say, if a man sees a woman, he's going to hell. He didn't say that. But he warns us about looking to lust. What man among us that has a wife has at some point early on in the marriage, hopefully it was just in the early on stage, that your wife gave you an elbow because she thought you was looking at her too long. My wife used to get me in this trap. We'd be somewhere like at the mall or Walmart or something, and there would be some woman go by that was totally inappropriately dressed. And invariably, my wife would look at me and she said, did you see that? Now, I was afraid what to say, because if I had, you know what I'm saying? It's a wrong answer regardless. Women, you know, ladies, you know that men want to look. Women know that, and that's why they dress the way they dress. Based upon that fundamental principles that are taught about men looking and women wanting to be seen, is the whole basis and foundation of pornography. That's it in a nutshell right there. That's it. If all men thought women were ugly, that'd be out of business. You follow me? Well, I would like to encourage us that... Wait a minute, I got to go on too... Oh yeah, here I got it. Job made a great statement. New American Standard says, I've made a covenant with my eyes. How then should I gaze at a virgin? Some of the other translations would say that gaze means to discern or to consider carefully or to separate mentally. I grew up hearing a preacher talk about looking at a woman to lust after her. And he would say it this way, if you undress her mentally. Y'all ever heard that before? To undress mentally. That's the concept. That's the idea. And the NIV says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. I made a covenant with my eyes, why then should I think upon a maid? The word covet, remember that under the old law? It said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. What is that saying? Covet means to have an inordinate lust or desire for something that doesn't belong to you, that you shouldn't have. All right? So I look at my neighbor's wife and I covet her. I want her. So what are you doing? You're going through the mental gymnastics of exactly what Job said he wasn't going to do. He made a covenant with his eyes that he was not going to do that. We need to make that same covenant with our eyes, both male and female. It seduces and sexually stimulates one to think about sexual activity. Hebrews 13:4 teaches us that marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled. Sex is not dirty when we understand God's way. God's way is a man and a woman that are married. The marriage bed is a good thing. It's a godly thing. But the text goes on to say, but fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. I think judge there is in the sense of condemn. He will condemn. So sexual activity is holy only in a godly marriage. So pornography makes billions of dollars of showing men with men, women with women, etc. That's pornea. That's fornication. All right? So to look at that and to desire that, to participate, that it's promoting and stimulating one about sexual activity. Sexual fantasies. I've known of people that have gone to counselors, marriage counselors, and they're having problems in the bedroom. So there's the encouragement by the counselor to have sexual fantasies. What does that mean? Well, really what that means, it has to do with thinking about other people so that you can get sexually stimulated, so that you can have sexual relationship with your spouse. What is wrong with that? What Jesus said. You cannot look at anybody else and fantasize and get sexually aroused by somebody else to have sex with your spouse. It's very uncomfortable, isn't it? Very uncomfortable. It's making me uncomfortable talking about it. But sin is that way. It's gross. It's terrible. But the reality is, when we think about this, pornography is sex without commitment. It's an animalistic kind of lust. I mean, there are so many men out there. For all of us that have daughters, I mean, I was concerned when my son started dating girls. But I must say, the way I looked at it then is that, okay, he's a guy. He has to control himself, you know, and he's the man. But when my daughter went out there, it's like, I'm going with her. You know, you're not going to touch her. Don't even look at her. I mean, you have that protective attitude there. Am I the only one like that, guys? Girls, you got girls, you know? Well, why is that? Because most guys are a bunch of animals. What are they? The only thing they care about, oh, I love you, honey. And I'm going to marry you. And if you love me, you will. What is that all about? It's all about them. It's all about the guy. And there's one purpose in mind. That's it. All you young girls, I'm not trying to turn you off against guys. But you need to be smart. Okay? You need to understand. There are some good guys out there. But there's a lot of bad guys. A lot of bad guys. This carterizing of the heart. A couple of young men that great disciples of Christ now. But back in the day, they came to me as young married men. And they were hooked on pornography and they got married. And they were unable to really have sex with their spouses. Because, and I don't know how to say this, but just say this. Their wives were not enough to get them excited. because of what they had been used to looking at. They did not marry a porn star. And talking to these girls, you can imagine how dejected they were, how disappointed they were. They married men that they did not know, that were addicted to porn. These two guys were so bad. They were in college. They could not, to be held accountable, they could not get on a computer anywhere at any time without their spouse beside them. They all had laptops. Their spouses put passwords on them. They could not be trusted by themselves without their spouses with them on a computer. They were that far gone. Their hearts were so hardened and carterized with such vulgar things, it took them a long time to get off of that stuff. And for them to be a man to their wife the way they should be. It's unfathomable to us, isn't it? It's unfathomable. But it's reality. This stuff is dangerous. It's sowing to the flesh. And when you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. It's loving the world. The world offers all kinds of gross, immoral, sensual things. And while we may be sitting here thinking, well, that's just gross, it's awful, I can't, it's not a temptation if it's not luring, if it's not attractive. Pornography goes all the way with attracting people to the gutter. And you think looking at it doesn't affect you? You are deceived. It's being of this world. When you became a Christian, you died to this old world and the lust thereof. You were raised up to be born again of the water and the Spirit to walk in newness of life. Thus our theme, come to me while I can be reached. It's going to bring on the wrath of God. I've known of preachers, elders, and deacons in the Lord's church. Now you think about this for a second. They had to go before the congregation of where they were members and confess addiction to pornography. Thank God that God has provided a way for the sinner to come home and to be forgiven. But you think about the embarrassment. You think about the humiliation. And I'm talking about the family. This is a vile and cruel way to go. There may be somebody here tonight that's into this stuff. And my guess is the guilt and the shame is all over you. And maybe you've long since given up that you can overcome and be forgiven. Because how many times have you done this and then asked God to forgive you, and then you did it again. You need help. You need God's help. You need God's forgiveness. He will forgive you. But you've got to quit it. You've got to stop it. You remember the passage that says, our Lord says, if your right eye offend thee, what did He say do? Pluck it out. Now that's pretty drastic, is it not? Now I thought about that. Is that literal or is that figurative? If it's not literal, what does it figure? Well, it figures that if I plucked out my right eye and I'm looking at pornography, couldn't I look at it with one eye? What is He saying? You do whatever it takes to do to stop sinning. It may mean throwing away every digital device that you've got in your house. That's going to cost you a lot of money. Plus, how are you going to be able to do the things that you've gotten used to doing using these great tools for good things? But here's the question. You want to keep your eye and spend eternity in hell? Or you want to give up your eye and go to heaven? It's pretty serious business, isn't it? Well, that's what I come to tell you. Probably all of us need to feel like we need to go home and take a shower. You're dirty. I mean, it's that's the way it makes me feel when I talk about it. But tonight, I want to read this passage one more time. In the context of which we've talked about tonight, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and He will have compassion on him. To our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What a blessing it is to be able to offer to one and all tonight the forgiveness through the blood of Christ. You can be forgiven of every heinous crime and sin that you've committed, both of the heart and of the flesh. The blood of Jesus is powerful. But you have to humbly come to Him on God's terms. It's God's way for today's problems. He is the only way. The song of encouragement is selected tonight. Brother Davis is going to lead us in that song. If you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ, we're here to help you and assist you in any way. Brother Nick will baptize you. The Lord will forgive you. And you can leave this place rejoicing. You need the prayers of these brethren. You need encouragement from these brethren. Yeah, it may be painful when you confess and admit you're wrong. That can hurt to the bone. But you can leave as a child of God, being forgiven through the blood of Christ. Can we pray with you? Can we pray for you? Can we help you in any way? Won't you come as we stand and sing?